And you know what? We need to show mercy to people. Amen. If somebody gets on your skin, just say, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. Make it a prayer. Praise God. God is good. I'll tell you what, I feel like we're in a Pentecostal service tonight. We've heard some testimonies. We've seen God bless His people with His presence. And I just believe that there's even greater things. You can go ahead and put the sermon title up, brothers. There's even greater things in store for 2018. Now, we're in the new year mode, and January, I used to prepare for the new year in November, December, but I'm so busy now, I get to the new year about February, and I'm kicked in. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Would you stand with me tonight and turn to John chapter 14, verse 12? Sister Darnell, would you come? I need you to, I put my sunglasses in my pocket here, and I don't want to preach like this tonight, so, amen. So, I don't want to scratch them up either. Amen. Give Sister Darnell a hand. She's a blessing. Amen. To me. Sister Darnell's a church worker and she's working and helping us with assimilation and she's, and we're already hearing some good feedback on that. And we've got one lady, her name slips of mine. Who is it? Karen Odom. Is that right? Her sister, okay, Karen Odom's sister. What's her name? Melanie. So she comes often, like once in a great while, she'll come. But she told us today she had gotten a card and from the pastor. She'd gotten an email from me and some other contacts. And Darnell talked to her back there. She was going out and she said, you know what? I don't really have a church, but I'm going to come to the Connections lunch. And who knows? Praise God. We're trying to draw them in. Amen. Praise God. That's just one story I could tell you, but we're just going to take this full force. Amen. The future is before. There is yet much land to be possessed. I'll never forget one time I had Ron Wooten, preach for me, the missionary to Africa. He preached for me down at West Road and he scratched the pulpit with his fingernails, you know, like scratching a chalkboard. And I had a wood pulpit then so you could hear him scratch it. And he said, I want to tell you, West Road. And he went scratch, scratch, scratch. He said, we haven't even scratched the surface of what God wants to do. I believe that for Westmoreland. Amen. Somebody give him another hand of praise tonight when mercy came in. John chapter 14, verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Read out loud with me because I want this to get in your spirit. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask in my name, it. Amen. Father, thank you for greater things in 2018. And all of God's people said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored and you may be seated tonight. I said blessed and highly favored. Amen. Praise God for His presence. Thank you, Brother Ray, for the music and the Wilsons and Lord, I'm going to start naming people and leaving somebody out, but all of the people that give their gifts and their talent to the Lord and the ministry, and just get ready and let God use you. Amen. I pray every time on Sunday mornings, Lord, you've given me a talent and Lord, I just give it right back to you because you understand it's not your talent anyway. You know what? I've always been careful when I've been asked to sing or been asked to preach. Try not to say no because I might think about the Lord may take it away and I might want to and can't. Amen. And so when He gives me an opportunity, I'm gonna say yes, Lord. Amen. And so many of our people are doing that because we've got to believe God for greater things. Now, when you look at John chapter 13 and John chapter 14, if you kind of read through the Bible, you understand that from John chapter 13 to John 19 is one setting. And the context of this is that Jesus is about to be crucified. In the context of this scripture, in the entirety of John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, on into 18. We're in a tough time. When I read this passage tonight, put it into the context that this was not the most great occasion of the disciples' time with the Lord. In fact, Jesus is on the verge of being crucified. One has already defected. Judas has already defected. And just a few moments from that moment, not too long from that very moment that we read from the night, Peter is going to waffle and deny the Lord three times. In fact, all of them are going through a night of trial. So it's not sounding too good. Nothing too promising. This is not a real upbeat moment. But I want you to think about in that context of difficulty, in that context, that atmosphere of mixed emotions. It had been an emotional time, raw feelings, probably some anxiety. It is in that moment that Jesus spoke our text tonight. I want to read it again, John 14:12. In this atmosphere, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You mean to tell me we're in a dark night? You mean to tell me one's already left and the others are waffling? You mean to tell me you're talking to us? You're talking now? You're talking about in this moment? You know, it's easy to shout when you got all the money in the bank. Can I get a witness out there? It's easy to praise God. I'm blessed and highly favored. Throw your tithes in when you got 40 hours a week and overtime, Social Security and supplemental income and rental income. And you've got a perfect bill of health, like my brother said. It's all right to shout then. But let me tell you, sometimes it don't always go like that. Sometimes you get a letter in the mail. Can I get a witness? Sometimes the boss says we got to cut the hours. But despite all of it, God is still God, and he's still got a word. And I'm telling you, there's some greater things in store. I wish you put your hands together and praise God for what's about to come. He tells these fearful, doubtful, faultful disciples an incredible statement. He's looking at these guys and saying, greater works than I did, you're going to do. In other words, greater things are coming for you. And I believe for our church. Somebody say our church. Don't ever refer to Westmoreland as that church or your church or Pastor Ricky or Pastor Jerry's church. It is my church. It is our church. I belong to Westmoreland Pentecostal Hope. My name is on the roll. I report for duty Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whether I preach or don't preach, play or don't play. I'm a member and we're going to be here. This is our, and I believe, are y'all out there? Turn around and tell somebody, this is my church. Amen. If you're not a member, just say, I'm here to visit. But the rest of you need to say, it's my church. Amen. Amen. Because I believe for our church. I believe God's blessing other churches. Praise God. I pray for other churches. Thank God for Church of God, Pentecostal, other Pentecostal churches and Baptists like we mentioned tonight. Thank God for the Baptists. I love to hear good old-fashioned Southern Baptists just preach the Word of God. They get on fire. They tickle me. They're so full of the Holy Ghost, they don't even know what they got. Amen. The only thing is they hadn't jumped over into tongues yet. But that's all right. They might not admit it. Can I get a witness out there? But let me tell you, friend, for our church and for your life and for your situation, I want you to know the Lord says there's going to be greater things. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, I want you to also understand this context. They had gone through 3.5 years with Jesus by this point. Think about, now I told you the context of that night was tough, dark. Not sure, shaky, bad things were portending. But think about what they had gone through the previous 3.5 years. Man, they saw the leper cleansed. They saw the deaf ears open. They saw a man take a few pieces of bread and a few fish and feed the multitudes. They had already seen a man that was, he was in the coffin and his mama was crying and Jesus didn't even touch the man. He just touched the coffin. That's what's going to happen at resurrection, by the way. He's just going to touch that old coffin down there in the grave. And, oh, praise God. But let me tell you, then on top of that, Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. By now he was decaying, but they saw the stone rolled away and the man came out. Can you, let me tell you, these guys had already seen the glory of the Lord. They heard him pray all night. They saw him speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. And that storm stopped in a moment. Friend, they had already seen some great things. They'd already slept with him and ate with him and felt his presence and his power. And it's to that people he said this: you're going to see even greater things. Can you lift your hand and praise God? I've seen some great things in my life. I've seen some great things in my granny's church. Carolyn Edwards probably remembers more than me because she was just a couple of years older than me there. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I've seen great things when God put a check in the mailbox. I've seen great things when I walked in an emergency room and my mother had a broken neck. And by the time we got her to Greenville, it was healed. I've seen some great things. But you know what I'm praying for? And you know what I'm believing for? Even greater things to come. Can you shout hallelujah? You see, I want you to know, despite the situation on your job, despite what you face at home, despite what the economy is, despite the government shutdown, despite what Trump is doing and the Democrats are not doing, I want you to, all the Republicans, I want you to know that for 2018, there's coming greater things. You see, we have accepted the abnormal for the normal. We are used to defeated marriages. We're used to depleted bank accounts and decrepit bodies. We have taken it as normal that marriages are going to fail. It is not normal that marriages fail. That should, let me tell you, it does happen, but we take it as normal. We take it as normal that we have sick bodies. We're used to, in this generation, we've gotten accustomed to no miracles, no anointing, no power. And it's abnormal to see anointing, abnormal to see praising, abnormal for teenagers to be speaking in tongues and churches to be full of Pentecostal power. It's abnormal to see. In other words, we need to flip that around. Come on now. Well, we saw a healing 3 months ago. Boy, that was abnormal. We don't normally see that. What it needs to be is this. It's been 2 services and we hadn't seen anybody get healed yet. It's been one Sunday and we haven't seen a soul because we're used to seeing souls saved 50 Sundays out of the... Friend, let me tell you, we need to turn the abnormal back into normal and the normal into abnormal. And we need to say, Lord, rend the heavens. Do some great things in 2018. Would you give him a hand of praise for the glory of the Lord? It ought to be normal to see people run the aisle. It ought to be normal to hear speaking in tongues. It ought to be normal to see churches grow. It ought to be normal to see signs, wonders, and miracles. It ought to be normal to see the Holy Ghost move and revival and signs and wonders. It ought to be the life of a normal Christian and the life of the normal church to see mothers lay hands on fevered bodies and have enough power with God that the Lord heals the body. That's the normal. And until we get there, let's keep believing for it. How many of you are wanting and desiring and needing and believing for greater things in your life? How many of you really want it tonight? I want to give you 3 things about when Jesus said, the works that I do greater. I want to give you three things. Number one, the statement. The statement. He made a statement. Praise God, the works that I do, shall you do greater. And I'm tagging that to be greater things. Now, we know in the history of mankind that there's been great statements. John F. Kennedy made a great statement. He said what, church? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what? That's a great statement. Ronald Reagan made a great statement in Berlin, Germany. What was that statement? Mr. Gorbachev? That's right. You teenagers out there, Ronald Reagan was the president when I was your age. Amen. Franklin D. Roosevelt, when Brother Elam was a teenager, made this statement. We have nothing to fear. Aren't those great statements? On the coins in... Oh, thank God for great statements. And we've heard some people make some not so great statements. 1988, George Bush, read my lips. No new taxes. Well, guess what we got? We got new taxes and a new president in 92. Friend, let me tell you something about these statements. Jesus made a statement. He said, the works that I do shall you do because I go to the Father. And can I ask you a question? If the Lord makes a statement, do you really believe that you can count on it? If you believe that, say amen tonight. Now what if people say, well, I'm not sure. Well, what if Bill Gates, anybody knows who heard of Bill Gates? Raise your hand if you have. Raise your hand if you haven't. Does anybody don't know who Bill Gates is? Bill Gates invented Microsoft, the computer software and giant. Bill Gates is $60 billion. That's all he has. And just to put that in context, $60 billion. There are 60,000 residents of Wilson County, approximately, maybe give or take. 60,000 residents. If every person, man, woman, boy, and girl, all 60,000 had $1 million, that would equal $60 billion. How many of you know the man loaded? Come on now. And what if Bill Gates were to call you up and say, I'm going to pay off your car? Do you think if he made that statement and really meant it, do you think he'd have any problem fulfilling that statement? Of course not. It's nothing to him. He could pay off your mortgage just like that. To him, it's a dollar bill to him to pay off your mortgage. Come on, are you with me? And I'm here to tell you, if Bill Gates says, I'm going to pay your mortgage, you don't have any problem believing it. Well, why, tell me, why take it to the Lord who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? That is the stock market. Think of that, stock. People are worried about the stock market. The cattle on 1,000 hills is still there. The stock in God is going up and is going to stay up. And if you don't have a problem believing that Bill Gates could pay off your mortgage, then why would you have a problem with God who says greater things are coming? I'm telling you, He owns it all. And He can turn it around. He made a statement, an all-powerful statement. His word is enough. His word is powerful. His word is everlasting. His word is unchanging. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled. His word is a sure foundation. Isaiah chapter 46, brother, Isaiah 46 and 11 says, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will do it. If He said greater things are coming and greater works you can do, it is a statement that you can rest your weary head on at night. It is a statement you can take to your marriage. It is a statement you can tell the doctor. Praise God, greater things are coming because He said it was. Can you say amen? Somebody say amen tonight.
Amen.
Now let me explain something to you. He said, greater works than these shall you do. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you. You mean Benny Hinn. No, I'm talking to you. You're talking about Pastor Jared Nelson. No. We are including him, but we're talking about you and you and you. Greater work shall you do. Well, we're not, you know, these disciples, they were holy men. They slept with the Lord. They worked with the Lord. Yeah, and they all forsook him and fled in about 12 more hours. So it doesn't mean mercy, right? Greater works. He knew they were going to fall and fall. God's not looking for perfection. Listen, the Bible tells you that his people are not perfect. Abraham lied. Joseph was arrogant. David committed adultery. Peter fled from forsook the Lord. These are people with real, they just like you and me. Friend, Peter said, somebody was going to worship him, and Peter said, get back up. I'm just a man like you are. I got struggles just like you got struggles, but I serve a God who doesn't struggle, and we need to praise him because greater works than these. Now, I've often misinterpreted the scripture. I used to think, Jesus, you mean greater works? You know, what's greater than raising Lazarus from the dead? You know, am I going to do something greater than that? Well, the word greater is not in relative to quality. What he really means, if you study the Greek, is that greater works as far as quantity. Are y'all with me? Now, it's possible. If God has a plan and a purpose, I mean, it's possible. If there's reasons for certain things, if a man's been dead 4 days and there's a work for that man yet to do and it'll glorify the Lord, it's possible he can use me to raise the dead after 4 days. I'm not telling you there's not, nothing is impossible to the child of God. Amen. But I'll be honest with you, Brother Philip, I love you, and Brother Jerry, I love you, and I know y'all love me, but if I've been dead 4 days, don't raise me. Let me stay in heaven. You want to bring me back to Best Buy? Come on. You want to bring me? Now, I'd like to see my wife. And I love my wife. But I'm going to tell you something. When you see the face of your Lord Jesus Christ, all other relationships will fade like the dusk in the sunrise or the dawn of the sunrise. That blackness fades away. Please understand that he's not talking so much about the quality of miracles. There's things that he did that we don't really need to try to do. I don't necessarily need to try to walk on water. But I will tell you this. There are quantities. I can be his hand extended. I can bring hope to the hopeless. I can go to Best Buy in the break room and tell somebody who's going through depression, there's hope in the name of Jesus. In your school, at Barton College, wherever you work, wherever God places you, in that hospital as a nurse, you can do the works of the Lord. It's a statement. Now you go out there and be his hand extended. You go out there and invite people to church. You go out there and tell somebody there's hope in the name of Jesus. He can work through you. He can work through me at Best Buy. And he does. And he has. And he will continue to as long as I'm there. He can work through you. Here's a good one. At Westmoreland. Remember I said it was our church. Say it with me. It's our church. You know, you may teach Sunday school. Or Royal Rangers or girls ministries. And remember, we're not talking about quantity, right? We're talking or a quality. We're talking about even that you can do things that nobody else can do quantity wise. That I know it's only two or three sometimes, but let me tell you something. That's two or three that may not be touched if you don't touch them. Can I get a witness out there? Be faithful and be fruitful. And watch God do great things through women's ministries, through men's ministries, in the schoolhouse, wherever you are. God said, greater works than these shall you do. My goodness, it's a statement. Listen, God's going to do greater things for you. But listen to me. He wants to do greater things through you as well. Do you know one of the reasons a lot of people struggle with depression? is because they're all wrapped up in their own world and their own problems. I'll be honest with you. If I stopped preaching right now and everybody left the building and I sit on the front row and I just started thinking about all the things of my life, these 46 years and the turns that turned wrong and things that didn't go right and the dreams and the plan, I'm going to tell you what, I don't have to watch the young and the restless or the bold and the beautiful. I don't have to watch some tearjerker with these chicks, where they get broke up with a boyfriend and they're crying. And I'm like, dear Father, I can just cry on my own problem. Okay? Are y'all with me here tonight? But I'm not going to do that. You know what keeps me focused is, hey, you know what? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Reach out and help somebody else. Reach out and pray for somebody else. Be an encouragement. Send a note on Facebook. Instead of posting how bad your day has been, message somebody and say, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I'll tell you what, that'll do some greater things for you in the name of Jesus. Somebody give him a hand of praise tonight. You don't have to have a pulpit to preach. Amen. Be positive. Be encouraging. Know that there are things that could be far worse in your life than they are right now. Amen. Right? No matter what it is, God is still sovereign. Number one, he made a statement. Greater things are coming. Say amen. Number two, let me mention to you the requirement. Oh, I thought I was just going to coast through this, brother. He made a statement, but it also implies a requirement. A.W. Tozer said, Satan opposes the Christian who is pressing toward the higher life in Christ. The spirit-filled life is not, as many suppose, a life of peace and quiet and pleasure. It is likely to be something quite the opposite. Tozer goes on to say, my point here is that if we want to escape the struggle, we have but to draw back and accept the currently accepted low-key Christian as the normal one. That is all Satan wants. That will ground our power, stunt our growth, and render us harmless to the kingdom of darkness. Compromise will take the pressure off. Satan will not bother a man who has quit fighting. But the cost of quitting will be a life of peaceful stagnation. We sons of eternity just cannot afford such a thing. Amen, Tozer. We got to keep at this. You see, I like what Adrian Rogers said, Southern Baptist preacher, by the way. He said, you're either in collusion with the devil or you're in collision with the devil. People, I'm like, well, the devil don't bother me. Well, then you're probably in collusion with him. You see, you're either, let me explain it even further. It's like you and the devil walking side by side. He ain't going to bother you. But the minute you turn around and face him, it's on. Can you say amen? The minute you say, I'm going to have my teenagers at church, that's when the devil throws up all hell. Can I get a witness? He don't mind if you just let them sleep in, play on their, games and stuff like that. And by the way, nothing wrong with playing games. I sell games at Best Buy. Praise God. $299 for a PS4. No problem with that. Not during church, though. Right? I just don't feel like it. Let me tell you, you can't go by feelings. Amen. We got a requirement. Hallelujah. Yeah, great things are coming, but we gotta be motivated. We gotta get on up and be in church. We gotta study for the Sunday school class. We gotta try to read our Bible through this year. We gotta do some things. Can I get a witness out there? Oh, what are some of the requirements? Prayer is a requirement. If you're going to see greater things, no shortcut. You're going to have to learn to pray a little bit. Now, by the way, praying, listen, there have been mornings when I got up and I prayed for 30 minutes, an hour, and then I'd go to work at Best Buy. And then there's some morning where I was so sleepy. Oh, good gracious. I got up at the last minute, got my shower, got into the car, and I flew down Lamb Road and flew down Raleigh Road Parkway. But let me tell you, I pull out of the driveway. Lord, I thank you for this day. What a beautiful day it is. Oh, God, I need your help today. Oh, I praise you that I slept good last night. Thank you that I have a car to drive. Thank you that I got a job to go to. Thank you that I got a church that I'm a part of. And thank you, God. And Lord, would you help me today? Would you help my wife today? Would you bless her on her job? And Lord, I pray for two or three, I might mention some of you that are going through some stress. Sister Joan, would you touch her? And I'm going to tell you, in those 8 minutes it takes me to get to bed, by, hey, I might not have prayed an hour, but 8 minutes is better than 0 minutes. Can I get a witness? The Bible says pray without ceasing, glory to God. Be in a spirit of prayer. I'm going to tell you, you go to Best Buy and I walk up and down those aisles and I'm by myself. Sometimes in a dull moment, I'm praying. Because why? It's a requirement. He will answer prayer, but he will not answer until we pray. People say, well, God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. But here's what he's decided to do. He won't do anything until you do what you are required to do. And it's his job to do it. But you got a part in this. And why? Because it brings victory to you and brings glory to God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. That word careful means be anxious for nothing. You got to fight anxiety. Fight it. And it's not always a medicine that may be needed at times. But be careful. I love what Brother Clark said. I don't want to go on medication. Now, if you have to, you have to. But until the answer comes. But you're not resigning to it. Our answer is not in a bottle. It's not in that's why people turn to alcohol and all they're doing. You know why people, a lot of times they'll drink alcohol? It's because they have so many problems, it kind of drowns out what they're going through. But the problem is, the next morning it's right back. Prayer, you know, prayer, some people talk about air conditioning. We need to have prayer conditioning. Amen. The Bible says, let everything by prayer. There it is. Everything by prayer. Say that with me. Everything by prayer. Shout it. Everything by prayer. Every problem, every need, every situation, every trial, everything by prayer. Let your requests be made known to God. And I tell you, there'll be greater things in 2018. Look at 2 Samuel 14 and 28. 2 Samuel 14 and 28. If you're there, say amen. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, and he saw not the king's face. 2 years. He never one time got into the presence of the king. Oh, my friend, we got to stay in the king's face. We've got an invitation to come boldly to the throne room of grace. The requirement of prayer, say amen. If we're going to see greater things, it's going to require faith. You need to quit doubting so much. Amen. Well, you know what? I really believe God can turn things around in your life. I really believe he can bring to... You know what? Well, I doubt it. Well, you know what? God wants to do this, that, and the other. Well, I just don't see how. You need to... You got a requirement. The just shall live by... And you can't feed your doubts. Let me tell you about doubt. Doubt is like anything else. If you feed doubt, you're going to doubt more. And if you feed your faith is going to be stronger. Amen. And you need to talk faith. You need to walk faith. You need to quote faith. You need to listen to faith, the word of faith. You need to build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You need the word of the Lord. It requires faith. And faith doesn't go by feelings, brother. You've preached it. Faith doesn't go by facts. Faith doesn't go by force. Faith goes by the word of Almighty God. Can you say amen? Requirement. You gotta have prayer if you want to see greater things. You gotta have faith. Here's another requirement I'm gonna bring this to a close soon, I promise. But, y'all pray for me. Amen. But you need right relationships. If you're going to see great things in 2018. If you're single, you can't be going out and getting involved with people and doing things with others. And not only if you're single, but you know, if you get on the phone with people that all they do are negative. You might need to rethink your relationships. Sometimes, let me lean in, everybody. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people can drag you down. Teenagers, sometimes others can drag you down. A friend of yours or a boyfriend or girlfriend. But you don't need people to drag. Here's how you know they're going to drag you down. People who drag you down never read the Bible, never quote the scripture. They'll never encourage you to be in church. They'll always find some fault about something, somewhere, somehow. And those are wrong relationships. Now listen, we need to be a witness to people. We don't need to be holier than thou. But there are certain relationships in my life I'm just going to be careful about who I lend my... You know, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Be careful who you lend your ear to. Because you want to see God do some great things in your life. Amen. And don't get around negative and people that are tempt you to sin and listen to things and do things. You got to have right relationships. Say amen tonight. You got to have commitment. Somebody say commitment. You got to fight. Look at Psalm 81 and 13. It says, oh, if you're there, give me a thumbs up, brother. Psalm 81 says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. Can you feel that? God saying, oh. You know, these people that teach predestination, you know, that God's already set it in stone. Who's going this and who's going that? When you read passages like this, sounds like to me, God is really, really moved by people who won't respond to his free offer. Hello? Sometimes I look at people and I say, oh, if they would just trust God. Oh, if they would, they don't realize the impact they're making on their children, on their family. Oh, if my people, if they hearkened to me and if they walked in my ways, look at the next scripture, verse 14, and we're going to shout on this one. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against that. Brother Bird, T.L. Bird, my mentor, my father in the Lord, and who's gone on the glory. He preached that sermon. He said the sermon title was this: The Things That Might Have Been. He said, oh, if we would just do what God asks us to do, if it's tithing, if it's forgiving, if it's for serving, if it's commitment, oh, if we would just do it, God said, I'll soon turn it around. It may not happen immediately. And I believe there's a soon coming to somebody in this church tonight. I've been praying about this situation and it hasn't turned around, but hear the word of the Lord tonight. Soon, God's about to turn that around. Soon, God's about to heal. Soon, God's about to deliver. Soon, you're about to see the answer to prayer. Soon, it's not going to take 15 years. I know we have to wait on the Lord and wait for great promises, but I'm here to tell you there's some times when we've got to have an answer now. And I want you to know, if you'll believe it and trust him, soon you're about to see the glory of the Lord and greater things. I want you to praise him tonight. Soon and very soon, breakthrough is coming. Children getting saved. Spouses getting saved. Loved ones getting saved. Soon it's going to happen if we'll just stay the course and believe God for every. And here's another requirement: prayer, commitment, right relationships, all of that. Here's another requirement: praise. If you want to see great things happen, you're going to have to praise God now. Amen. Well, I hadn't got it yet. Praise him anyway. Amen. Number one, that's the statement. Say amen. Number two, the requirement. And finally, number three, the fulfillment. Now, did it happen? Go back to that night. These guys were on the verge of... I'm reading The Hobbit, so I'm thinking about the Fellowship of the Ring. You know, the fellowship is breaking. You know, these guys are about to scatter. They're about to be tempted. But Jesus said, you are going to see great things and do great things. And my question is, did it happen? Did it happen? I can't hear you. These same ones who had their issues and their problems, God's grace was greater. And these 12 people, 11, but then God added one more and then some more, 120 of them, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus was gone. He was gone as far as his body was concerned, but he was just as much there as he ever was. And on that day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. Was that greater? What was it any greater than that? A few pages later, 5,000 were saved. Was it any greater than that? Oh, I don't have time to go through and tell you every victory. Now they had to fight and they had to stand up to Rome and they had to go through prison. But let me tell you, let's fast forward. Let's go. Let's take the VCR. I know you young people don't know what, have a clue what a VCR is. But used to, you could fast forward the VCR and everything go fast like that. Well, we're going to go fast like one day, Brother Philip, there's a multitude which no man can number, and the beast is in a chain. I'm here to tell you, greater things are coming. You just hang in there. You just keep the faith. You just love God and serve God, and you trust Him. Greater things are coming. Give Him another hand of praise tonight. Stand with me tonight. Brother Clark, if you'll come on. Exodus chapter 1. I'll leave you with this scripture. I read this scripture 100 times. And go to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1 verse 8. And I'll let you know when to start. But thank you so much. Now, I don't know if you really believe what I'm preaching tonight. But I tell you what, the devil believes it. You might think, oh, Brother Ricky, that's a pretty good message tonight. I appreciate that. And if it wasn't a good message, just say, Brother Ricky, nice try. That's okay. Amen. It's okay. It won't hurt my feelings. I know when I've had a dud. I mean, you know, it happens. It don't happen without me trying my best. But let me tell you something. You might not believe what I said tonight, but I'm going to tell you what. The devil is on red alert. You know what I mean by red alert? You're in a ship and the captain says, red alert. Burp, burp. Get ready because something about to happen. And I'm telling you what, this message tonight, the devil's on red alert. Let me hush and go on to it. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Go ahead and go to the next verse. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Okay. That's the devil talking. He called a council. This is the king of Egypt, and said, guys, have you looked out your window? I know they're in chains. I know they got dirty faces, but brothers, down below that dirt, there's some muscles. There's some faith even down deep. They are mightier than we. We got to do something. Now go to the next scripture. Come on. Let's deal wisely with them. Let's they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they fight. I'm telling you, the devil's on red alert for Westmoreland. Church, we're about to break out. We're about to march into the promised land. I'm tired of the devil lying to us and telling us, well, you might as well just get. No, sir, brother. We're on the brink. We're on the border. He knows there's power in the church of Jesus Christ. He knows there's great things ahead for you. So he wants to pull you back. But if you intend. Go ahead and you can start playing, brother. Thank you, Brother Clark. But if you intend to see some greater things in your life, knowing that the devil knows it, and maybe you're not quite convinced, but you want it, I want you to step out of your seat, and I want you to march down to this altar, and I want you to lift your hands up to the Lord and say, here I am. Come on, right now. Here I am. I want to see that. It's a statement. It's a requirement. You fulfill the obligations. You work until the work is done. You pray and you commit. And I believe we're going to see a fulfillment. A fulfillment. It won't be long. Soon. Say, when's it going to happen? Soon, I'm here to tell you. It's on the way. Come on down, teenagers. God's got great things for teenagers. Great things for those that are sick. Great things for our marriages. Great things for our church. I'm looking up tonight. The glory of the latter house is greater than that of the former house. Soon, soon, soon. Come on and praise Him tonight. I said that's a requirement, is to praise Him. You got to praise Him when you don't feel like it. You got to praise Him when somebody's run you down. You got to praise Him when the economy's bad. And I promise you, you'll still see greater things. Oh, Lord, we bless You tonight. We praise You tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, surrender everything to Him. Greater things, greater things, greater things. I don't care your age, my brother and my sister. Happen, Lord. Greater things. Greater things, Lord. Oh, greater things. Brother Donnie, greater things. Children saved. Royal Rangers, greater things. Greater things for these young people tonight, Lord. Greater things. Do you believe it? Greater things? Do you believe it? Father, You've got greater things for these young people, Lord. Greater things for Pastor Nate in this youth group, the largest number, and those numbers are going to get larger because the hand of God is on your life. Greater things, Father.